Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I am Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 13th of October, and we're halfway through the month already.
Yeah. Not soon enough to get rid of this year. 2020, goodbye. You know, I started the year. Every year, I have to...
What? You said what?
I started the year with... right before the end of the year, every year, we have to go and do a little bit of designing for this private client blog that we have. And what I decided to do is we come up with a color because we put the like a little calendar up with each month. So when we write each day, they know what month it is. So this year in December or so, you know, the idea was, okay, what color do we want this year? And I said, you know, this is a true story. I said, somehow I think black's going to be the right color for this year.
Oh, you're the one that jinxed it.
Yeah, it was me. Yep, I screwed it all up. That's what happened. That's what happened. Let me give you a quick update of a few things that are going on in the market, some of the things we're going to be talking about, and then tell you why I'm so flustered this evening. Well, we have stimulus off, on, off, on, off, and off, and on, and off, maybe possibly on right now. That's kind of the sequence of what's going on with the stimulus ridiculousness. But there's something interesting about that, what I want to talk about tonight. The VP debate, kind of calm, boring. There was a fly on the head of Vice President Pence.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, that's about as exciting as it got.
That was pretty much it. That was it. People said the fly died of boredom. But no fear in the markets. Rally mode over the past week. COVID, Euro lockdowns, and a little report on the best clam chowder found ever. We'll talk about that. Quick note why I'm flustered. So I went, I left the building tonight at, I don't know, 5:30 or so to grab some dinner to come back for this evening show. And there was a couple cops outside, and they said, did you see a woman walking around, blonde hair and a bikini top? I'm like, no, no, I don't think so. And anything? No, no, nothing. I come back to the office. I go through the back door of the parking lot, and I go into the stairwell, and I smell smoke. And I look over, and sure enough, there is that woman sleeping underneath the stairwell with a beautiful, kind of a really nice-looking flask and smoking. You know, she's been smoking because it stinks.
She's sleeping and smoking at the same time?
I'm not sure, but she was smoking at some point because the whole place stunk. So I go back up to my office and I do my thing and what to do. So I said, all right, let me call the cops. I'll go call the cops and tell her she's got to go. Hour and a half goes by, nothing. Go downstairs, I take a peek.
Wait, stop.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to savor this. So the cops were asking you specifically about this woman?
That's correct.
And so when you called them, they didn't bother to show up.
That's correct.
Okay, go on.
So, and I didn't call the 911 line. I called just the, you know, the dispatch.
Yeah, the courtesy line. Yeah, the good line.
Right. So I said, let me go downstairs and see if she's still there. I go downstairs. The stairwell stinks. I walk down the stairs. I peek. Yep, there she is, still sleeping. Come back upstairs the hour and a half later. I call the police again. I said, listen, just to let you know, somebody's sleeping downstairs. Maybe we should have them, you know, maybe ask them to leave.
Did you make sure to mention that this was the person that the cops were inquiring about?
I did.
Okay.
And they asked me all sorts of questions. What was she wearing? I'm like, I didn't look. What was she looking? I don't know what she looked like. Does she have any weapons? I have no idea. I just saw her sleeping there. Or maybe I said, you know what? Maybe she's not sleeping. She could be dead. I don't know. But she's laying on the ground underneath the stairwell. Although she's probably not dead because she's been smoking, it seems. But nonetheless. So now another hour goes by.
So we're at 2.5 hour point.
We're at 2.5 hour point. Finally, they show up.
And these are then this is the person the cops were looking for.
That's correct.
Okay.
So now I meet them outside. And they're at the wrong door. I told them exactly where to meet me. They meet me outside. We walk through the building. They do a whole sweep. She's no longer sleeping at the spot. So they go through everywhere. They open up all the bathroom doors, you know, with their flashlights in hand. You know how they do the flashlight in one hand crossed on the other hand? You know what I'm talking about?
They're holding it funny.
Yeah.
Now, let's stop again.
Yeah.
for more clarification.
Uh-huh.
So by the time they got there 2.5 hours later, she had gotten up and moved.
Seems that way. She left her flask.
But she left her flask.
She left her flask and some tissues. And the flask was kind of rhinestone studded, and I felt bad for her leaving her flask. Huh. Pink with rhinestones. Something she probably savored.
Huh.
So now they come in, they go through all the different things, and all I see are, you know, Fort Lauderdale police, is anybody in here? And then you hear, clear. And they're clearing the whole.
Can I jump to the end and give a quick idea of how this ends?
Yeah, go ahead.
You got arrested for filing a false police report.
that would be what would usually would happen, you would think. But she's not there. I'm tempted to leave her flask outside as a good Samaritan, because otherwise it's going to be thrown out. But that's how my evening was up until about 15 minutes ago.
So she could still be skulking around the area.
She's somewhere. She's probably hiding underneath my car, and I'll run her over on the way, and then I'll get probably arrested for a hit and run.
Murder.
Yeah. This is all pre-planned. That was my night. But they didn't find her anywhere, but my door is locked right now, and I will scurry out of the building like the fraidy cat that I am. Poor thing. All right, a market update. We got kind of a just-buy discount the news continuing. Earnings season, banks are reporting. They reported a couple of them today, some of them tomorrow. Interesting results, actually. We had a COVID rise around the country. It was good for stimulus bets. And the bad news is we had the J&J trial, the trial that is going for the vaccine, halted. And one more company also that is going for the vaccine.
They halted the trials for both of them?
Yep. So that's a problem.
Was it killing people with this stuff, or what was the deal?
They don't know. They don't know. And one of them, they don't know.
Yeah, they never tell you, do they?
No, they don't know. You know, and they use a phrase. I wrote this down. Let's see. I wrote it down here. They use a phrase that everybody seems to be using right now. Let's see if I can find it. Which you'll. This is just one of those phrases. This is a kind of a no agenda phrase. Where is this?
We're always looking for phrases.
This is a phrase. This is something. Oh, let me find this. Here we go. Out of an abundance of caution, right?
Yeah.
That's like.
Isn't the whole thing started with an abundance of caution?
It seems that way. But the Johnson & Johnson temporarily pausing all dosing of its Janssen COVID-19 vaccine candidate clinical trials. That's one. So that's kind of interesting because that one, they're not exactly sure what's going on. There was some unexplained illness, and they're not telling us whether or not it was from a participant that's taking the drug or the placebo. Which means that it's probably from a participant taking the drug. Because if it was the placebo, they would tell us. But Eli Lilly's, which is the one that said we're aware that out of an abundance of caution, the Active-3 Independent Data Safety Monitoring Board has recommended a pause in enrollment. Now, there's a little bit of a difference there. One is they're just stopping all the vaccines. That's the J&J. The Eli Lilly is that it's not enrolling anybody for whatever reason right now. They're not adding more people to this.
Hmm.
So, interesting. I took a ride to the west coast of Florida this weekend. And might I say that is very...
Sure, it's only a couple hours.
Yeah, right? It was actually a total of 5-hour trip that
I took. Is that the ride you take through Orlando? Is that the cross
So,
state?
On the way there, I went straight across Alligator Alley through the Everglades, about 89 miles. And then made a right turn and headed north towards Clearwater Beach. And let me just tell you, it is very clear to me that COVID is not allowed on the west coast of Florida.
They're all partying?
Everybody's partying. I walked into places, I'm like, oh my. I mean, there was a couple.
You'd think they'd be partying in Miami if they're partying in Clearwater.
It's unbelievable. Clearwater was one thing. Crystal River was another discussion entirely.
What about Tampa?
I didn't go through Tampa. I mean, I went through Tampa, but I didn't stop there. But Crystal River, I walked into a restaurant, and I'm like, uh-oh. There was not only a wait, and not only wall-to-wall people, not a person wearing a mask, nor, more importantly, I think, was any of the waiters or waitresses wearing masks.
Huh.
That doesn't make any sense. And something that really shocked me was, I'll tell you how much they don't care over there. on two separate occasions, as I was out by the pool, I saw in two separate places, there was a person belly up to the bar with an oxygen tube up their nose.
Oh, wow. Nope. In other words, some dowager or some old man with an oxygen thing stuck in his nose going to the bar, and he's in his swim trunks.
Just
and
hanging out. Yep. Two different places.
That sounds very, very deep south. I like it.
So, interesting. Anyway, let's talk about the stimulus plan. It seems that...
Well, wait a second before you continue. What did you take this drive in the first place for?
My wife had to get the hell out of this area. She just needed to go for a ride. So we stayed at a couple of hotels.
A little day trip.
Yeah. It was like 3 days total. Two and a half days. And it was nice. I mean, I saw some beautiful springs. Had some good food.
No, I think the West Coast of Florida is dynamite.
Yeah, somebody's asking, did I walk out of an abundance of caution? The restaurant that was entirely packed, I said, I'm not going in there. I'm just not going. So we found other places. Even though they said the Red Snapper was unbelievable at this restaurant. And things there are very cheap. Like, I got a pot of clams, 50 clams for
$18. 50 plants? What kind of plant?
Clams.
Oh, clams. I thought you bought plants.
No, I didn't buy plants.
15 clams for what?
50 clams for $18.
That's reasonable.
Yeah. So I'll just finish the story up here. I was on the search for the best clam chowder in the country. I think I may have found it in Cedar Key, which is another hour and a half north of Clearwater. This guy, Tony... I think you could buy this in the stores. He makes a white clam chowder that is just fantastic. And I think it's because the recipe calls for about 50% butter and 50% cream and then a bunch of clams.
That sounds like a recipe for, a tasty product.
Yeah, it was delicious. A little bit of spice, but I had clam chowder in a couple of places there, and this was a winner. Everybody says a winner. I think I said Tony's clam chowder. Tony's
Isn't
famous.
Isn't it kind of hot to be eating clam chowder?
Yeah, well, we're used to it down here. It was only like 92.
Huh.
You know, but people swear that you know when it's hot, you drink coffee and you get cooled off, right?
There's a little bit of that. I know for a fact that buttermilk will really cool you off, and it's very popular in those states.
Cold buttermilk?
Because it has a high specific heat, so you take cold buttermilk and you drink it, and it goes and just kind of slowly cools everything off.
Just coats the insides so beautifully. I want to talk about the stimulus plan for a second because, you know, this whole negotiation process, if you've been following it, this... You know, from, hey, we're going to do, you know, the Democrats putting together a $2.2 trillion plan, and then the White House and the Republicans saying, you know what, $1.3, $1.5 trillion. And, okay, we'll go up to $1.6 trillion. And then, Pelosi saying, nope, $2.2 trillion. That's it. End of sentence. We're not negotiating this. And then they go up $1.8 million. First of all, it's not like buying a house, the stimulus plan. I mean, when you buy a house, you negotiate like, okay, they're going to start high. So I'm going to come in low and we're going to come somewhere in the middle, just throwing out numbers, right? Because you know, there's one product you're buying, which is the house. You know, the value, hopefully, maybe did an assessment of it. But the stimulus plan, it's not like if you add $20 billion that it's just going to be just an extra. It has to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And this whole idea of trying to just nudge up the price or nudge down the price on this thing is ridiculous. It's not that kind of deal. But somehow they all go through this. But what I thought was really interesting, where President Trump says last week, the hell with it, stop negotiating. Remember that?
Yep. Well, he does that constantly. Just, and everyone gets all bent out of shape. It's kind of funny to watch.
Yeah, just stop the negotiation. Markets got all crazy. And then the next day is like, okay, well, all right, let's go back to the drawing board here. But what it reminds me of was the exact same process that we saw during the China trade deal days. Remember that?
Yeah.
So I guess this is kind of his negotiation technique.
He's always said you have to be prepared to walk. So he just walks. Let's see what happens.
But it's not like buying a car where you're like, okay, you can't do a better deal, I'm out. And you walk out and you're hoping that they come follow you. Is that what he's hoping is happening?
I think it's a variation on that, but it's different.
It unfortunately, is not just as simple as buying a product. The problem is that there are a lot of people suffering right now, and these two sides aren't coming together. Pelosi.
Yeah, he looks cavalier when he does it right. At this point.
And Pelosi looks like just that she looks ridiculous.
Well, she's just a shrew.
She wants her money, and she wants it now. I mean, she's not getting away from this $2.2 trillion number. She says she's not breaking. Now the problem is, tell me what you think. This is at the wrong time. And what I mean by that is that we have a situation where we are really close to an election, and both sides are using this as a political tool somehow. The Democrats to make the Republicans look really bad. The Republicans trying to say, hey, we're trying to get this done. They're not agreeing to anything. And unfortunately, caught in the middle are all these people that are out of work, businesses that are failing, companies that need a dire injection of funds. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I feel really bad about it.
No.
Anyway.
You always have the podcast to fall back on.
Yeah, true. True. We have a new toilet paper shortage, or it's the new toilet paper shortage.
It's just a new shortage.
It's a new shortage, but it's kind of like that crazy time when everybody... I still think it's hysterical, the whole toilet paper thing. I mean, does everybody have enough now?
It was touch and go.
I told you, my wife, she went out and just started buying toilet paper.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing? She says, I don't know. Everybody's buying toilet paper. I'm going to buy it too.
At least she got it before they ran out completely. They were out for probably a good month.
Right. So the new thing is that if you're looking to buy a new refrigerator, too bad. So it seems that customers that are looking to buy refrigerators are facing long waiting times. As many models are backlogged. In fact, LGs are backlogged for a long period of time. And there's also shortages of other major appliances like dishwashers, dryers, and some microwaves.
God's name, why?
I guess it's, I was thinking about this.
All made in China? Is that the deal?
It could be. I think there's a combination of things. I think that there is.
I think they're made in China. That's the reason.
Well, I think there's people also a lot of demand for this. I think people are, first of all, flush with cash from a lot of the stimulus money. Some markets moving up. And they want to remodel. And I think the second thing is there's a lot of new houses going up. So that's a problem.
Well, there's always a lot of people remodeling, period. And there's always a lot of new houses going up. And I don't think it's going up to an extreme.
And we're the highest level of new home sales for 15 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Since when?
13 years, I think it is. No. 2006, 14 years.
Okay.
So maybe that's half. I was thinking about getting a new stove. I have a gas cooktop.
Yeah.
And I want it a little bit hotter. Because
you want some more BTUs.
Yeah, I wanted more BTUs.
Yeah, well, that's doable.
So my front is a 14,000 super burner BTU, but it doesn't heat the wok up very well. So I was going to go get a 20,000 and a bunch of 18s.
But that would be dangerously hot.
Dangerously hot. So the problem was that I was like really prepared to do it. And then it's like, I'm like, what does it cost for something like this that I want? It's like $5,500 plus installation. I'm like, for a stovetop?
That's just the stovetop, yeah.
That's not even
At that level of heat you're talking about, that's a professional kitchen.
Yeah, it was. It was a Wolf.
Oh, and Wolfs aren't cheap anyway.
Yeah.
They're always slightly overpriced. You can always beat Wolf.
Yeah, but so the problem is that I'm part of the issue of thinking about buying just new things for the house. Because, you know, we're spending so much time there, I just want to gussy it up a little bit.
Well, my advice, stop.
Yeah, okay. We had some earnings out. The start of earnings season was today, as a matter of fact. And we saw the banks starting to come in. So we saw JP Morgan, which beat by 67 cents and beat on revenues. Once again, same thing over and over. This one was a little bit faster on the entire cycle, though. The banks come out. They beat. Everybody's upbeat about it. Markets move up. The bank stocks move up. Then everybody says, well, let me look at the real information. Let me dig down into what's going on. And the details and they took them down.
What were the details? I mean, revenues are revenues, aren't they?
Revenues were better, but they're a beat. Remember something. The whole idea is that, you know, they'll put out something that can beat the estimates.
Oh, they just beat on the prediction.
Right. Exactly.
They didn't like top all-time high revenues.
Right. Exactly. So banking revenue was up 6%. Investment banking was up 12%. But they saw a net interest margin compression, which was expected because the yield curve is so flat. Loan loss provisions were better than expected. So J.P. Morgan actually was, I thought, not too bad. I thought, you know, okay, that looks all right. Citigroup comes out. Actually, it was more about the Citigroup. There was some other funkiness in this Citigroup report. They reported earnings of $1.40 a share, which was 53 cents better than the consensus. Which, by the way, $1.40, which is 53% better, is like a 50% beat.
Yeah.
So their revenues fell 7% year over year to $17.3 billion. So they were right in line with that. But their allowance for credit losses was $26.4 billion at the quarter end, or 4% of total loans outstanding. So they got a problem with their loan book. And you're probably going to see a lot more of this when some of the non-investment related companies, the non-Goldmans, the non-Morgans, the non-JPs, right? So what you have is a Citi, Wells Fargo, Bank of America potentially. Those names could see a problem because of the loan loss provisions. So Citigroup was down about 4% today. I think JP Morgan was up 1.6. I think it ended down 1.5% or something like that today as the market kind of turned right off the open. Disney. Oh, Disney. Some big news from Disney there. On Monday, they said they're restructuring. And they're restructuring their media and entertainment business to accelerate growth of Disney Plus.
Have you ever looked at the Disney org chart?
It's deep.
It's unbelievable.
It's just got bigger.
Well, I don't know how you can reorganize ever.
Yeah, it's a big patchwork of
it's huge. Yeah. It goes every which way. And there's all these companies don't even realize they're owned by Disney. So they're going to promote the Disney. Well, you know, they think the theaters. There's some issues here because the theaters are just not going to recover, it seems.
Right, and they're going to have to come up with some other kind of. I mean, they were very late to the streaming platform.
Yes, but they did pretty well for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, they got a lot
of... Although I will say the family, which includes everybody, because we share our accounts like you can do legally. Mm-hmm. And the guy, or my son, is like handling the main... he's doing the main juggling, and he has canceled Disney Plus in favor of HBO Plus.
My daughter loves Disney, so they gave me their login, you know, the family login. They bought The Mandalorian. I watched that. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, I watched it, and I thought it was a little slow-moving, actually. Yeah,
right. And predictable. I thought it was predictable.
Obviously.
But other than that, what am I going to watch? Am I going to watch, reruns?
I watch old cartoons, even though I don't have a very good collection. The collection is mediocre. You can get, you know, there's a lot of cartoons they will not put on the service. There's stuff they won't put on the service. They took Fantasia. I just found this out. That Fantasia, the very popular movie, and kids love it, has really been censored majorly.
What do you mean censored?
They took a bunch of scenes out of the movie that were in the original movie, and then only made it to DVD, or only made it to VHS tapes, and now you can't find them anywhere.
Right, it's like taking out all the slavery issues in Gone with the Wind.
Well, these were slavery issues.
Right, exactly. And how about, how do you ever replay Roots? Do you remember that? That was big back in the day.
Oh, yeah, I remember Roots.
Oh, that was, how long? That
Alex
was long.
Haley wrote that.
But that was like, I feel like that was a long series.
It went on for years.
It did, right? Something, it was long.
Is long.
Anyway, under the reorganization, Disney will separate the management of its content and distribution to be more responsive to customer demand. So, why is it necessary to do a reorganization to be more responsive to customer demands?
Most of when big companies say this, they're trying to get rid of someone.
Ah. So what they're doing is chopping ahead.
You do the reorg. You say, hey, Bill, geez, you know, we couldn't find a place for you in the new org. So I don't know what to say. I think you're going to have to quit.
And now we're going to call it a reorg just to save face. I mean, it's essentially what they're doing, right?
That's the way it usually goes, yeah.
So this move also came after activist Daniel Lieb of hedge fund Third Point urged Disney to forego a dividend payment and double its programming investment into streaming. So they didn't...
Their streaming service is fine.
I don't... I guess they're looking to put more money into the production. But
make more. Is he talking about, is Loeb talking about content that he wants to see Disney do more content and stream more content?
Yeah. Have more original content that to draw more people in.
Yeah, just like that.
I mean, it's a loser's game against Netflix and the other ones that are out there already.
Yeah, cranking out the content.
Yeah.
Amazon even.
You got Amazon and the HBO Plus. They have some great stuff there. You got Paramount that's got some new stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
Plenty of stuff out there. Plenty of stuff. Then you got Apple, whatever it is, TV Plus. Well,
Apple's trying to do it too.
Yeah.
You know, there's only, you have to always realize, and people need to think about this, there's only so much talent that can produce this much content.
Yeah.
And that talent is at its limit. It's already peak talent. A lot of content now is just garbage.
I like it. Peak talent.
Peak talent.
That's where we are. Florida sports fans, Dolphins now at 100% capacity at the Hard Rock Stadium for NFL games. So we went from, let's be safe, to just fill the place up with 45,000 people.
Yeah, right. Yeah, let's be safe and let's fill it up. Yeah.
I
don't know what this is going to mean, but it's apparently going to be passed on to the, I guess, the Gators and some other, all the Florida teams.
Yeah, the Gators now want to do 90,000 in their stadium. And I thought I saw.
Florida State's going to have to want to do the same thing in Miami.
Wait, I thought that I saw Florida football coronavirus. I thought I saw a news story tonight that, let's see, Florida Gators stop football. Now, there you go. So the Florida Gators are stopping all football activities after coronavirus outbreak.
Were the people hospitalized or just got cases?
Probably somebody got a sniffle, but let's see. Just 4 days before they're scheduled to play LSU.
Oh, they still want to play LSU. I don't blame them.
Yeah. They put a hold on all of this. Florida football, including players, coaches, and personnel, has had 19 positive tests over the past several days. So you know, I this brings me to another question. So I know there's players on the field. I get that. And I understand that they're separated from the fans, right? That they're pretty far away.
Sure.
But you have 90, let's just say, or 50,000 people in a stadium.
And screaming,
yelling, you know, and wind blowing this stuff around, and whether or not it's that catchable, I don't know. I'm not. But you have a team somewhere else. Let's call it, I don't know, New Hampshire. Is there a New Hampshire NFL team? I don't think so. But anyway, you have a team somewhere else, New York, New Jersey, that isn't allowing fans in their stadiums, right? Set the stage. Now, the Giants come down to Florida and play to a packed stadium. How does that work? The teams are just okay with that? Even though their stadium, they can't have anybody? Not from a financial standpoint, but from a health standpoint.
You know, you're asking the wrong guy.
Okay. And that is because?
Because it's a mess. I think there's a lot of it is, I think, I don't know. They either, I have no idea. It's dumb. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. You know, here's the problem.
There's no consistency.
That's the problem. You hit the nail on the head. That's it. The fact is that we don't have, and I'm not blaming anybody, but here's the fact.
Oh, you can blame somebody.
Okay. Who am I blaming?
Trump.
Okay. Well, okay. There is no standardization of anything or national program that has any kind of consistency. And the fact is, by taking credit for the shutdown, which the governors did, by the way, then saying that it has to reopen, which they can't, but the governors did. And it just seems to me that this whole thing, I'm not saying it could have been avoided, but it could have been better handled in terms of trying to bring everybody together on the same platform, don't you think?
Well, yeah, technically, you always do. This is like Monday morning quarterbacking, you know, armchair, you know, armchair hindsight. Yep. Yeah, sure. I can also pick all the best stocks, too, if you give me a couple of years to look back on stocks.
Right.
So, yeah, it could be. It could be worse.
It could be. But I think even as we know, I think everybody's – well, not everybody, but a lot of people in agreement that we don't have a national standard that we should. And it's still going on that nobody's even coming up with the idea that maybe we should have a national standard. You know, the thought of
– we have suggestions.
I don't want to talk
the about suggestions come from the national because it's a state deal. You said it yourself just a minute ago.
It doesn't
the
have
states
to
are the
be
the guys who decide what to do.
It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. It could be a countrywide issue, can it?
Not if you start getting sued left and right by the various states that don't want to follow it. Unless it's within the mandates of the U.S. Constitution, the federal government can't do these sorts of things.
You know, the problem is that the Constitution is the body of law that we've been living with and built the greatest country in the world, no question about that. But I don't think the founding fathers had the foresight of this one item of a pandemic.
Well, no, they didn't. But we did have another one before. We had one in 1918, 1919. Which was a major one.
What happened there? Did the states do this? Was the same situation?
It was the same kind of a mess. You can read most of this. There's stories all over the place. It was a mess. We had percentage-wise, we would have had, if we had the same, because there was only 100 million people at the time, we would have had 2 million dead. Mm. And there's the mask thing, and people were getting arrested and beaten up for not wearing a mask. Because you can read all these stories. They're quite funny. And you know, they didn't have quite the medical talent that we have today. It probably has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, I guess the point is it's frustrating to me. That's all. And you know let's move on. Facebook, another frustrating item. Facebook is removing Holocaust denier posts. It's banning posts that deny or distort the Holocaust and will start directing people to authoritative sources if they search for information about the Nazi genocide. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm Jewish or something, but I can't even fathom the whole concept of calling the whole Holocaust fake.
Well, I've got a bigger mystery in my mind when you bring this story up. Is who the hell is looking for Holocaust information on Facebook?
And why so many years later do we have to keep on rehashing this? What's the end purpose? What's
troublemakers?
Is the end purpose? They just want to be right about. I don't understand.
No, they're not right. They're just troublemakers. They just want to cause stir things up.
Yeah. Facebook CEO Zuckerberg announced that the new policy Monday, the latest attempt for the company to take action and do something against conspiracy theories and misinformation ahead of the U.S. presidential election 3 weeks away. You know, Facebook should just run everything through you and Adam.
I think they should.
You know,
they should give us a good pile of money to do the hard work that's necessary.
Yeah, you should be the official censors or fact checkers of the Facebook. They don't need teams of thousands of people doing this.
No.
Very simple. Pass it right through. No agendas
on. Two people plus a good algo.
Right. And maybe an assistant. Give you an assistant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. We'll cut you in.
Yep. Oh, thanks. The assistant. All right. Foxconn in Wisconsin. Do you remember back a number of years ago, there was a whole big hoopla.
I remember this. This was hilarious. Yeah, and Trump was there. And this guy's full of crap and lack, you know.
So in a letter to Taiwan-based company's vice chairman, Jay Lee, Wisconsin Economic Development Agency said Foxconn was a very long way away from building the large TV screens it has proposed in 2017 when it promised to create eventually 13,000 jobs in the state. Seems that they're well low on the required employees that they had to do. And now Wisconsin told Foxconn for the second year in a row, you're not getting any of these tax credits. So how do you like them apples?
Well, they shouldn't have, the whole thing was fishy.
Well, the whole thing is it's back to, unfortunately, these politicians in general. It's across the board, just looking for, you know, look at me, look how great I did this. And it's the campaign starts on Inauguration Day.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know? So we'll see how that goes the next 4 years, 8 years, 12 years. No, I don't think much is going to change right now. It's no longer.
The technology for making the screens is going to be obsolete by the time they even build one.
Right. They'll have to turn it over to make build cars again or something. Why didn't they make that a ventilator facility?
They probably couldn't make them either.
Yeah. Pretty bad. Robin Hood. So, you know.
Yeah, this is a good story.
So
I'm surprised you didn't actually predict this.
I you know.
You've always been a skeptic.
Well, the problem is that, you know, in my business, one of the things that I have to do is I have to always be cognizant of fair trading. And I have a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that we have good execution and find not the lowest cost, but reasonable cost to trading. And, you know, one of the things is that when you do this and you go through a Robinhood or anybody else that has a no commission based trade, you have no idea what you're actually paying.
Yeah, you're going to lose money on the trade. Yes. You're going to probably less than the commission.
Right. The markup, markdown, who knows what it is. And the fact is, more importantly, you don't know. Now, in certain circumstances, like when I work with Schwab, I don't have a choice of choosing whether I am going to do a commission or transaction fee or the freebie. It's kind of, you have no choice. TD Ameritrade, same thing. But Interactive Brokers, we have a choice. And we chose to go with the transaction fee. So people are charged 50 cents for a trade or a dollar a trade, but we know we're getting best execution. Now, also Schwab has to do best execution and all that. But we know something about Robinhood. Robinhood is only in the business to do a couple things. First of all, traditional brokerage, where they make money on the cash on hand, sitting in the brokerage accounts, not paying any money out to on cash of any reasonable amount, and making the overage and pocketing it. That's number one. Number two, a lot of money, by the way, in brokerages comes from the fees they charge and the money they collect on cash balances. A lot of money. And that's why when interest rates are higher, there's a bigger spread there and they make more money. So they're not making a lot of money now. The second way is obviously on trading and things of that nature. Well, Robinhood does they came out with the free trading. Everybody's like goo goo gaga about it, but you have no idea what you're paying. Well, all right. So all these accounts are opened. Everybody's trading on Robinhood. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of color. It's on my phone. I'm so excited. It's like a game. And now we have a story. A couple of stories. First of all, we know that they're under investigation, or they were, for their trading practices and not doing best execution. We know that that's in the past. And I think they paid something on that or something. Not exactly sure how that played out. But there was something on that. But now a handful of Robinhood users said their accounts have been liquidated by thieves.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
One user, Bill Hurley, who's a Connecticut metal worker, who told Bloomberg, so as he was obviously producing some steel and it was going through the process, he took a break, he went over, and he did a little trading, put the phone back in his pocket, took that steel beam out, let it cool over there, let it go, and then said, took a look at his stocks, and, you know, he's trading as he's working probably with, you know, 5,000 degree molten steel. Makes sense.
It's a little larcenous, by the way, but continue.
So, he told Bloomberg that he lost $5,000 in stock and Bitcoin in a theft. Now, this is several people have reported this. Now, Robinhood told Bloomberg that the thieves targeted individuals' email accounts and didn't gain access from an internal security breach. In other words, it was some kind of a phishing scam, I suppose.
Yeah, that would be the way you do it.
So, I don't know if they didn't have, obviously, maybe they didn't have two-factor authentication on their accounts or something?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Which on that kind of an operation, I definitely have three-step authentication if you get it.
Right. I want a saliva test. I want a facial recognition and a thumbprint. So, listen, buyer beware. Nothing's for free. And if you think it is, that maybe you got to be thinking something is a little fishy. And and Bitcoin, by the way, where is Bitcoin right now? Bitcoin went from 10,000 up to, I think it was close to $12,000 per Bitcoin. Let's see what it is now. Bitcoin. 11,144. Mm. Up a little bit. It was as low as 10,000 about a month ago. So it's been rising dramatically. So has gold once again also. The Lindsey Graham debate seems to be canceled. Hours before a second scheduled debate between U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham and Democratic challenger James Harrison, or Jaime? Is that Jaime? J-A-I-M-E. Jaime? Jaime?
I think it's Jamie.
Jamie? Weird spelling. Jamie Harrison. Event organizers were forced Friday to change the format, offering back-to-back one-on-one interviews rather than a debate. These town hall things that they're doing now, right? Which I think there's one tomorrow night with Biden, I think.
Yeah, it should be interesting.
Yeah, I don't think so. Following a day of campaign clashes over COVID-19 right. That stirred doubts of whether the matchup would go on. The reason why is because Graham, who took a COVID test last week, refused to take another one, saying he had taken the coronavirus threat to our state and nation very seriously, but has been told by the Senate physician that no further testing was needed. Now, I don't know. This is not about COVID. It's about just what is wrong with, you know, if there is there established requirement to just do a simple, have you ever had a COVID test?
No, I have not.
It goes up your nose. No big deal.
I don't like the looks of it.
All right. It's not the biggest deal in the world once you get it done. And once you get it done,
they put you in the DNA database, too. That's the way I see it.
Probably. I've always been against the 23andMe. My friends are like, oh, we did 23andMe and you won't believe it. I found I have two sisters.
Who needs it?
Huh?
Yeah, who needs it?
I'm like, I don't need to know if I have other relatives. I mean, I have enough relatives. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to have any other relatives.
I don't even keep up with the relatives I have.
Yeah. So I don't know if I was running for Senate and one of the requirements was to just do a simple COVID test to make sure that everything was kosher before a debate, which would be very important probably for my election campaign. I don't see why I wouldn't do it. Would you?
Well, if I just had the test, and then the doctor says you don't need to take another test, you got no symptoms, no, you haven't been bumping into anybody, I wouldn't take a second one. I'm with him on this.
I'm not saying that you need to do like an open heart surgery to check everything beforehand, and there's a massive recovery time, or that you need to eat like a ghost pepper to see if you can handle it. I'm just saying a quick and easy test.
Doesn't sound quick and easy when they shove that thing up your nose like you said.
They shove it up your nose and then down a little bit too.
It's invasive.
I suppose. New York real estate. We've been talking about this and kind of some more numbers are in. And this is really important to understand because things are not so good there. September proved to be another winning month for the bargain hunters.
Well, that's an understatement.
Yeah. So it seems that, you know, if you want to buy or rent an apartment in New York, it could be a good time to do so.
I think the better time is coming.
It could be. But apartment listings tripled from a year earlier to 15,923, the largest monthly inventory in records dating back to 2006. And the vacancy rate is now setting a new high for a fifth straight month, rising to 5.75%. Rents on average the lowest since 2013. One of the reasons,
When you get it, and there's still rent control still in play there. So whatever rent you get to keep that rent paid forever.
If you're in a rent controlled building. Yeah.
Oh, they're not all rent controlled. No. The whole state. I thought the whole city was rent controlled.
Nope. Only certain places.
Just buildings.
Certain buildings. And I'm not sure what the reason is. There's some reason why.
Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah. But it's not everywhere. I know that for a fact, cause I know people that live there and it's definitely not rent controlled. One of the reasons that we're seeing possibly Bitcoin start to move up in some of the digital currencies is because, once again, the idea of a stable coin, the like the Facebook Libra, is kind of coming up and bubbling up again. Central banks are looking to regulate cross-border stablecoins like the Libra from Facebook with a common approach on they talked about, saying that more rules may be needed and the prospect of a currency-backed stablecoin being used by billions of people on Facebook has really brought central banks together to put some rules out there. I don't know. You know, what's the difference between a stablecoin and, you know, you ever use Venmo?
No.
All right. PayPal.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. There's other things like TransferWise. I use that for paying people out of the country and they do a quick conversion. But what's wrong with just simply having a way to just transfer money wherever you want to, like a Venmo, like a PayPal, like a Square, like a Cash App, like a, I mean, why do we have to have these stablecoin? I don't understand.
I don't either. I don't get it. Again, second time in one show, you got the wrong guy here.
Mm. Well,
I'll tell you this. The guys who are really deep into these crypto coins,
they
would have a pat answer. It would probably be a good one, too.
Yeah, I mean, they want to get away from the government's intervention and the possibility of currency swings. But, you know, the problem is that you need to get the money in there. So if there is a stable coin and it's against a certain currency, you have to buy in, right? You have to.
You still got to move real money, yeah.
Still have to use. It's not like we're just going to get rid of money.
Yeah, it's an unnecessary step. Logic eludes us. No, it's actually the lack of a lot of logic and high imagination is elusive.
Yeah.
So I don't fully understand the mechanism.
Yeah, I get some.
Don't really care to.
I mean, I get some of the tenets of it and all that, but you know, this is it just.
Hey, I already blew it when Bitcoin was 25 cents.
Right. That's
correct. $200, boom. Yeah. We wouldn't be doing this podcast.
Right. Well, I'd like to give you know, people say that I break on President Trump quite often, but you know what? I'm an equal politician doubter. It doesn't matter what side they're on. But a couple of weeks ago, I'm giving a real thumbs down on this one, okay? A couple of weeks ago, President Trump banned U.S. citizens from bringing home rum or cigars from Cuba. Really? Is that what you think about that? Is that rum?
That was my rum. Now, I'll tell you, this is just reestablishing the old rules before Obama.
Yeah. So this whole.
So it's not anything really that new, but it's kind of chicken shit. You can get that rum, the good rum, which is Havana Club.
Yes, very good.
You can get Havana Club rum at most of the, if you travel into Europe or any place around the world. You can pick up that rum. You can get the good stuff, the 7-year-old, and there's some older ones you can get. But, you know, the regular one is, you got to get some with the one that has some age on it.
Yeah, I have those. I have those at the house. They're delicious.
Yeah, they're very good. And they're
not expensive.
I think there's some Trinidad rums that are a little better, but they're damn good. Mm-hmm. And they're cool looking. The bottle looks like you've been around.
Yep.
And you can go you take a trip to Toronto or anywhere in the world, and you can pick up all the cigars you ever want and probably a better selection. It doesn't bother me that much.
Well, it just bothered me because this whole rebuild Cuba thing that was taking place, and it's kind of funny because I have some friends and colleagues. They came up to me and they said, Andrew, you know, Cuba is going to be really developing over the next few years. This is a number of years ago. I'm like, really? I'm like, yeah. You know, they need a whole telephone infrastructure and they need communications infrastructure and they're going to have
hotels.
I've
heard the same pitch. The Canadians bought into it. The Canadians are the one that are doing all their investing down there.
I was down there 3 years ago or something. If there was any building, I was not there. I told you, there's two kinds of buildings there. They're both the same, but they're different. There's either half-built buildings or buildings that are halfway falling down. That's all there is down
there. Parts of Mexico that are identical.
Yeah. So, and
I asked somebody about this once because I used to go to Mexico more than they do now. And I'm down there. So, you know, you go down, you're down, it's just an Ensenada in the area that you drive down. And you go there, and there's all these half built buildings. And then you go 2 years later, the same buildings are still there. And you say, what is with all these half-built buildings? Won't they ever finish these things? And the guy told me that they leave them that way on purpose because they won't get taxed until they're finished.
So what's the point? So they get the money for the building up to the point, and then But somebody's got to be holding the bag for all that money that they don't make any that they borrowed. No,
they pay for the project, but they don't pay the property taxes don't go into play until the thing is done.
But then again, if it's half built, nobody's living there anyway, so there's no way to get any. No,
they're living there.
Oh, yeah.
You should make it. That's a flaw in your logic there. No, they're living there.
Yeah, that's good. But I, like I said, I was there. I was not impressed. But a lot of friends were like, you know, you got to invest in this. Here's this Cuba fund. QUBA is the symbol. You got to invest this. And I got this private placement. I'm like, listen to me. Even if Cuba does an entire rebuild, the place is like 90 miles long or something like that, right? The whole country?
Yeah.
What kind of major infrastructure is there going to be? And then what happens after that? It doesn't make any sense to me. All right, I have something I need you to explain.
Uh-oh.
The U.S. Justice Department recently unveiled a proposal that seeks to limit legal protections for internet platforms on managing content. In other words, I think right now they have a buy on not being able to be sued for whatever's up there because they're not necessarily the provider of the content. Right?
Yeah, this is a big issue. This is the publisher's dilemma.
So what happens here? I mean, they seem to be scrambling to try to get stuff off of there. You know, the propaganda, the bad, you know, the Holocaust thing we just talked about and all that. It seems that if that is the case, this is going to be a bonanza for lawyers.
Well, this is a real interesting situation because the lawyers, it's actually too long and convoluted to go into. I had written about this a number of times. I believe that Facebook and the rest of them are publishers, and they because they do editing, and they are responsible for the content. I think that the law. Tries to make it though. No. We're just a kind of a platform. We're like a bulletin board in a grocery store. You can take a thumbnail. You can stick a little notice up on the bulletin board. And I'm the bulletin board owner. I take no responsibility for whatever you stick up there. And that's kind of what the logic is. It's just these are just bulletin boards. They're just empty slates. You can post stuff in your little page, and you're responsible for it, not them. But the problem is then they do editing, which is like, you know, they kick a page off or they tell someone, no, you can't have that. You can't do that. So isn't that the same as editing? So they're controlling it in some way, but they've walked a tightrope on this. And this is and both sides are arguing the arguments that go on between the lawyers is just ludicrous because some lawyers, I was going to do an expert witness thing and then I found out that I figured out that I couldn't do it in a million years because of my thinking on this. Anyway,
it's what's fascinating is first of all that we gave the power of the pen to the people, right? Whereas it was impossible 20 years ago for anybody to really be published, and then we got the blogging going, and everybody's an expert, and then we got the Twitter and we got the Facebook, and everybody can say whatever they want, whatever stupidity comes into their mind. They can gladly just spew it on any of these platforms.
Generally.
Yeah. Unless it's something that could be harmful to somebody, whatever. All right, moving along. Last thing here. There's a new acronym out there. So we got number one in this show. We got the phrase, right? Out of an abundance of caution.
Yeah.
So the phrase. Now we have a new acronym.
Uh-oh.
CARES. CARES.
Which is?
It stands for like FANG, which is Facebook and Amazon and Netflix and Google.
Yeah.
Right. Now we have CARES, CARES, which is cruises, casinos, airlines, restaurants, entertainment, and storefronts and shops. These are the new stocks in that area, the CARES stocks.
Ah. The ones hit hardest.
Yes. The ones that hit hardest that needed the CARES bailout, it seemed. You know, the CARES plan, the CARES stimulus program, CARES Act. So there you go. A couple of things I want to mention. You know, we have a close to the pin running, and I just want to say that if you put in your guess over the last week, I'd like you to just go to check to make sure that you did so. Now the system will tell you if you log in, if you have already done so. If for whatever reason it comes back that you didn't, we had a couple of little bugaboos on this one, some people may have been kicked. So if you haven't put in your price guess, or if you have, even if you have, go over to dhunplugged.com, click on where it says on the top right, hey, close to the pin is running, ExxonMobil is the stock, and make sure to put in your price guess because you can win a wonderful DH Unplugged t-shirt and a lot of fame and glory.
And you're eligible for the big game.
Yep, big game at the end of the year, which you can win a nice trophy. With that little glitch, cost us a bunch of money in development. If you want to help out with the development of the show, if you want to help out with the shirts, if you want to help out with just helping out, you can do yourself a favor, do us a favor, go over to DH Unplugged and click the donate button. This is not as much of an ask as a highly respected suggestion.
Yeah, the big request.
Yep, big ask. All right, a couple of things. The Bond King's prediction. So this is interesting. Jeffrey Gunlock. He said within 18 months, this is a prediction. Somebody comes out with an 18-month prediction. 18 months. The market, it's going to crack pretty hard. I think you want to be avoiding it for the time being. When the next big meltdown happens, I think the U.S. is going to be the worst performing market, actually, and that'll have a lot to do with the dollar weakening. So here's what he did here. He pushed it out 18 months, number one. Plenty of time, right?
Yeah.
Second thing is it's going to crack pretty hard. I don't know what that means. Is that 10%? Is it 15%? Is it 50%? I don't know what that means. He says you want to avoid it for the time being. Again, it could be a week or so. He says when the next big meltdown happens, I think the U.S. is going to be the worst performing market. So therefore, what he's saying is on a relative basis. So it could be that everybody's down 6 and we're down 10. And he says that now he likes gold.
And turn into a gold bug.
Yeah, he says a 25% position in the portfolio right now is not unreasonable. Don't forget also, he runs mutual funds, primarily mutual funds of bonds that will probably do better when the meltdown happens. So if you want it, but wink, wink. By the way, if you do want to get out of stocks, why not put it in to one of my bond funds? You know?
Yeah, seems like a conflict of interest.
It is. All right. Here is, we have one Fed limerick today, and yeah. It is my entry.
You did it.
I did it. Which I'm probably going to get a C minus like you give everybody else, but I shouldn't
I'll
have told you.
I'll give you an honest score.
All right, here we go. Jay Powell is trying to be Yellen. Lower rate, he is a selling. For his goal up ahead is the dollar to shred. This crime should make him a felon.
Well,
I screwed up my own read. How do you like that?
Yeah, you screwed up the read, which I find highly amusing since you wrote it.
These are not easy. Jay Powell was.
I'm going to read it. I'll read it right
now. You read it.
Jay Powell is trying to be Yellen. Lower rates, he is a selling. For his goal up ahead is the dollar to shred. This crime should make him a felon. I don't know. I could have done better than that, too. I will give you I think it's got everything, all the elements, and you got the right structures. Be nice if you could take one word out of that last line. Also, it'd be kind of interesting if the last line, this crime, should him make a felon. It would be kind of an interesting way of, more poetic.
Yep.
But I'm going to give you an A minus.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, hello. Hello, Betty. Oh, my gosh. That's fantastic. If you want to send in your limerick, send it to dhemail@dhunplugged.com.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
There's a couple of names on here. Pretty good. Take them off. Take them.
Well, you know, it looks as if my Kodiak Sciences, which is just a fairly new pick from 916.
That's an applause. That's unbelievable. It's
up 41%. So it's catching up with your 7-1-2020 train technologies, which was a smart pick, and it's, which is still up 44%. But by this time next week, I could be passing you.
And on an annualized basis with the short amount of time that you're talking about, we're talking about a month that went by here. Multiply that by 12, you're up 480% on an annualized basis.
Yes. Yes, not bad. That was a good one.
Not a waste.
The descending triangle as Summit Financial Group is also up 7.8 because I think all the banks are good. I think those banks, little dinky banks, are all going to go up in the next few weeks. We'll see when Wells Fargo comes in. Xerox is up. Somehow it's gotten back to its buyout candidate status, up 6%. The Medtronic, which is an early pick from the beginning of the year, is still up 38%. There's only a couple of down ones, and they're kind of dead money except for my GlaxoSmithKline Insiders, which is down 9% for some reason. And luckily it hasn't been kicked off yet. And TransDime is, which I put on because it's one of those indicator stocks.
It was one of, I think you said the CEO was selling. There was a lot of selling.
Yeah.
Insiders, and you're going against the grain.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's down. I mean, it's up, but it's a short. So it's up because I shorted it.
It was up 4.5% today. No, I'm sorry. It was down today. So you're better there.
Wayfair is not doing as well as you'd like.
No. It was up 4% today. It would have been up as of yesterday. I have one pick, which I tried before at a little bit of a lower price too. Down 11% today due to a sell side downgrade. This is an EV company. They make make EV trucks. They have a lot of orders in called Workhorse Group. This is a trading stock that's pretty interesting. So it's on support right now. Could it drop more? It's possible. But what we've seen lately is these kinds of downgrades come in. Then a couple of days later, when it goes down 10, 12%, it's going to get picked up. I think the high was close to, I don't know, $30 recently. So this is a bit of a wild one, but I'm going to put it on the list. Workhorse. Okay. What do you got?
I got nothing.
Oh, well, there you go.
I looked and looked and looked and looked and looked and looked some more, and I couldn't find anything I liked.
All right, well, I'm going to go, and I'm going to go search the building before I leave here to make sure there's no other.
Be careful you don't get mugged on the way out.
So if you don't hear from me next week, you know what's going on. But otherwise, I'll see you then.
Okay. See you then. Right. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.